Here is your KVNF regional newscast for Friday, June 16th. A five-year legal battle may have reached a conclusion when a jury ruled that a huge chicken farm on Powell Mesa outside of Hotchkiss can stay open. The long-standing legal dispute pitted neighbor against neighbor and garnered national attention in a case that has significant implications for the rights of farmers and individual property owners. Today we're joined in studio by High Country News reporter Rebecca Werby, who covered the story. Hello, Rebecca.
Hi.
Let's kind of build a timeline here to make sense of this big story. Delta County farmer Edwin Hostetler began operations at his 15,000-hen egg-laying facility in April of 2012. Veterinarian Susan Raymond, whose land lies about 1,000 feet from the egg-laying facility, soon noticed a change in the environment around her property. Why don't you pick up the story from there, Rebecca?
Sure. So Susan started noticing shortly after the facility opened that there was a haze over her property some of the time, and she started noticing a white powder that was gathering on surfaces in her home and in her veterinary clinic. She was noticing the emissions from the facility as a combination, this is what they called it in court, of particulates and biological materials, so bacteria, mold, fungal spores, and she was noticing this, and she actually filmed it quite a bit as she was seeing these emissions coming from the facility. She was also noticing feathers in her home. She actually said during her testimony that she sometimes woke up with feathers stuck to her face. She's finding them stuck to the stove hood in her house and caught in window screens and things like that. She also started suffering some health problems around that time, difficulty breathing, loss of stamina, and Susan also keeps horses on her property, and she used to breed horses, and she was noticing health problems with the horses as well.
At that point, Raymond and other neighbors filed suit against Hostetler, and in the fall of 2013, the Delta County District Court issued a cease and desist order for the chicken facility, deeming it, quote, incompatible with the neighborhood, end quote. That court order was appealed. And Rebecca, around that time is when former Delta County Commissioner Olin Lund got involved in the case.
Yeah, so Olin Lund is not only a former commissioner, but he is currently the president of the Delta Farm Bureau. And the Farm Bureau has been pretty involved in this case. They have hosted some fundraisers for Edwin Hostetler, the owner of the chicken house, and encouraged their members to send in donations. So they've actually received quite a bit of money from Farm Bureau members to support the Hostetler defense. Lund pointed out to me that that funding actually only accounts for a fraction of the legal costs because they have been quite high at this point, but it still speaks to a pretty significant involvement from that community.
And tell us a little bit about more of the backing that Hostetler got from nationwide sources. You write about a nonprofit organization called Protect the Harvest, which was funded by billionaire oil executive Forrest Lucas, and they got involved too and collected some money for Hostetler, didn't they?
They did. So Olin Lund wrote a letter to Forrest Lucas at Protect the Harvest, specifically requesting both financial support and just help getting the word out about this case for the Hostetler cause. And Protect the Harvest put that letter actually on their website along with a longer post explaining what was going on and asking for help and including an address to send checks directly to the Delta Farm Bureau.
And then finally, it went to appeal, and the jury a few weeks ago ruled in favor of Hostetler on pretty much all counts. The chicken facility can stay open and maintain normal operations. And Rebecca, you write that from the perspective of the Farm Bureau, Hostetler's facility should be protected by what is called the Right to Farm statute. What exactly is that?
All 50 states have a Right to Farm statute. These actually came about mostly in the 70s and 80s when urban encroachment was happening and suburbs were extending farther and farther into agricultural areas. So you would have existing farms and then neighbors moving in who perhaps weren't expecting to have the odors of a large hog farm or something like that. So there were a lot of lawsuits that came up. And so right to farm statutes came about to protect those farms. These statutes actually vary considerably from state to state, so it can be pretty complicated to deal with them in court, and they can be on the vague side. Colorado's right to farm statute is one of the more vague ones, so it is a little bit hard to say when it can and can't be applied, and the Farm Bureau saw this as a right to farm case, and they wanted to stand up for that statute. So that was part of why they got involved in this case.
The right to farm statute kind of goes into this question, you know, what are the lasting ramifications of this decision? What kind of precedent does this set for other small farmers who might choose to challenge large-scale farm operations in court?
Well, this is a decision that could be used as a precedent in other similar litigation in the state of Colorado. It could also be cited in other states. It's an interesting case because not only pits neighbor against neighbor, it's farmer against farmer. Certainly a 15,000 hen laying facility is a lot larger than Susan Raymond's farm, but, you know, she's got horses and hay on her property. And I think one of the challenges for her was seeing the Farm Bureau stand up for this other farm and not for her farm. And it does raise these larger questions about the rights of an individual versus the rights of a larger farm. And so it will be interesting to see how other cases like this will go in the future.
A Colorado veteran who served as a sniper in Kosovo and Iraq is calling on leaders in Washington, D.C. to protect the greater sage-grouse habitat from energy development. Eric Galatis has this story.
Veterans from Colorado, Arizona, and Montana are marching into the nation's capital to make sure riders are not attached to a defense bill that would block the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service from protecting the greater sage-grouse. Garrett Reppenhagen with the Vet Voice Foundation says the National Defense Authorization Act shouldn't be used to reverse critical conservation efforts.
The bill that's supposed to be used to prepare our soldiers and service members to go overseas and do the job we want them to do, not take away rights that they have when they come home and take away the lands that they've helped defend.
Last week, the Trump administration called for a review of plans to protect the sagebrush sea to find out if energy production is being negatively impacted. A new study by Western Ecosystems Technology found just 4% of sage-grouse habitat overlaps with existing coal or oil and gas leases on federal land. In 2015, the U.S. Departments of Interior and Agriculture completed plans to manage the bird's habitat across 70 million acres in 10 western states. Reppenhagen says the sage sea is part of his backyard in Colorado, and he wants the public lands that he swore to protect as a soldier to be available for future generations.
There was a massive effort using the best scientific evidence and collaboration between stakeholders and state partners. Why not honor that democratic process? The local communities have spoken on this, and I think the administration needs to listen.
Reppenhagen served in the U.S. Army's 1st Infantry Division on tours in Kosovo and Iraq. He says the ability to take advantage of Colorado's protected wilderness areas was critical to his transition back to civilian life after experiencing the traumas of war. Support for this reporting was provided by the Pew Charitable Trusts. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Friday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould.